I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We have a bonus edition podcast, a short little mini pod today. We got the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with 49ers running back Raheem Mostert, the star of the NFC Championship game. So we had to take that. I wanted to spin it out there and go ahead and pop it out there. We'll have a Brady Quinn football show on Wednesday morning. We will talk to Pete Prisco at some point and Brian McFadden for another show. And then we'll have Ryan Wilson talking to us from the Senior Bowl coming up this week. So those are all the various shows that are coming around. Reminder, we're doing a Super Bowl mailbag for Monday before Super Bowl week as we're all traveling down to Miami. We'll all be down there, hopefully doing Super Friends shows and we'll have all the other guests and people on the podcast throughout the week. So make sure and drop a 5-star review with your Super Bowl mailbag question. Today is Tuesday. Drop it sooner rather than later because we're going to curate them and record them early, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime, let's go talk to 49ers running back and awesome guy, Raheem Mostert. All right, extremely excited to be joined now on the Pick Six podcast by the star of the NFC Championship game. An excellent running back, a guy with a cool motivational story, and somebody who's going to get a lot of media attention over the next 2 weeks heading into the Super Bowl, Raheem Mostert. How you doing, Raheem?
Yeah, I'm good. How about yourself, Will?
I'm doing well. You're up extreme. You know, we're recording this on a Tuesday morning. You're up early. I know you had a bunch of like national radio hits. We thank you for taking the time. Is it all sort of still surreal right now? What you're going through in the wake of rushing for more than 200 yards to help the Niners advance to the Super Bowl?
Man, it's still so surreal. I still can't believe it. But you know, it was one of those things where, man, I just came in and I just wanted to do my part, and I did exceptionally well. And you know, I can't give enough credit to the O-line and George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk for helping, you know, helping me accomplish that feat, 220 yards rushing in NFC Championship game. That hasn't been done before, and 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, like I said, that just the O-line, everybody, even the receivers, man, Emmanuel Sanders, everyone, Deebo Samuel, you know, Kendrick Bourne, everybody out there doing their part and helping me, you know, achieve that feat.
Well, you're an extremely humble dude, and I want to ask you about that too, because I want to get back to the question about the teammates and the scheme, because I got some inquiries about that, particularly Deebo Samuel motioning out as a freaking fullback and a lead blocker, man. What a play call by Kyle Shanahan. But first, we were firing up our Sunday night podcast, after the game, and I always have the press conferences on because I'm hoping to find some sound and some, you know, hear some interesting things. And I mean, I was really floored by what you said in your press conference about how you've been cut by 7 teams. Do you have a sheet where you look at it every day before every, you literally look at it before every game to say, this is where I've been, this is what I've been through, and this as sort of a source of motivation, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been cut by 6 different teams, and you know, I wasn't cut by the Niners. So, you know, there's 7 teams in 5 years. Yeah, man, I just look at that. I have it in my notes on my phone. of all the times I've been cut, and I've been using that since, you know, since I've been cut by those teams as motivation. And then underneath the dates, I have my whys, you know, why I'm playing the game, you know, my purpose for, you know, a little motivation of what is at stake and, you know, what happens if I don't get the job done. You know, my why is like prime example, my son, I want him to see, you know, his dad is doing his best to, you know, to be able to provide for the family and to do little things right. And, you know, just teach him all the life lessons that come with, you know, adversity and struggle and pain and agony, but also, you know, positives like, hey, look, my dad made it through the dark tunnels and got through all the bad things that happened in his career and it helped him flourish. And yeah, it's like I said, it's one of those things where I keep looking at that and it just motivates me even more when I get into that game mode. And it helps.
How old is your son?
he's 6 months. He'll be actually 7 months. Yeah, he'll be 7 months come the 22nd.
That's awesome. So you're fresh in it, but I mean, like, it is. Does it? I mean, I'm not saying that it. I mean, look, I got my kid's six, so I mean, like, I'm a little. I'm not jaded. I mean, I still love him. Like, he's incredible. Like, you know, but it is. Doesn't it change sort of how you kind of approach everything once you got that kid?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Did it flip your mentality and sort of? I mean, do you think that helped you on the field, knowing that, like, it changes what's important and what matters in your life, having that kid? Was that maybe part of the process, too?
Oh, it definitely was a part of the process. I look at it as, man, you know, motivation, because, you know, he looks up to me. I know he does.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't say it right now because he can't talk, but, you know, you just look into his eyes and you just know, hey, look. You know, like, dad's my best friend. He gives you that type of look. You know how it is, man. Your son looks into your eyes. You already know, like, that connection. So for me to look at my son and just be in awe by, you know, the fact that I brought him in, like, he's into this world is just unbelievable. And like I said, I try to tell my teammates, man, look, fatherhood, it'll take you to a whole different level, man. I really believed it a little bit when, you know, I saw my teammates from before I had my son. But, man, having your own son, you really get amped up and you really have that real true feeling like, hey, look, man, I'm going to accomplish this for you. Like, I don't care what's going to happen. Like, I can get beat up, you know, broken bones, anything. But I know that it's going to be worth it because I'm looking at you right now and it's all the motivation.
Yeah, it's extremely true. It gives you dad superpowers, which is
the strongest.
Yeah, like the dad power. Like, I might not be the strongest dude in the world, but if it involves my son, I could do about anything. Yeah, you're from Florida, and you're not. I think you grew up like 3 hours away from Hard Rock Stadium. Is it cool to head back there for the Super Bowl? Man. Is that something you're looking forward to?
Man, you just said 3 hours, man. I'm telling you right now, that is so cool, man. Like, I remember my first NFL game that I went to. I was with my grandfather, and we made that trip down to it was the old stadium, not the Hard Rock. We watched the Dolphins play, man. And my favorite player at the time was Ricky Williams, man. Just seeing him just tear it up, and they beat the Patriots that game. Like I said, I was probably about like 8 or 9 years old, and, you know, just going to see that, man, and to finally being able to play in Miami like that in a big stage, man, I'm starting to get the goosebumps to think about it right now, truthfully.
You should be, man. I mean, it's gonna be the Super Bowl at Hard Rock. It's gonna be. I mean, it's the biggest stage in the world, and you get to be on it. You know, your coach has been there before, Kyle Shanahan. He is an offensive coordinator for the Falcons in a game that he probably doesn't like to talk about. But I actually think in is probably good experience for you guys going in, because he has been there. He has dealt with the heartbreak of losing a very close Super Bowl in a game that they probably felt they should have won. And I would guess that keeps him really aggressive in his play calling. I am curious, like I mentioned that Deebo Samuel play, That, I mean, what Kyle Shanahan does on offense, I don't really think that the average NFL fan fully grasps just how intricate and complex he's of a running scheme he's created, right?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, Kyle's a mastermind, man, when it comes to, you know, schemes and the schematics of how we're gonna play. And man, he does a great job, you know, getting guys and winning positions and doing all the right things and one-on-one battles and stuff like that. You know, but I also stem back from his time when he was, you know, with his dad and stuff like that, and learning as a young one, just being around, you know, football players and all the greats like Terrell Davis and all those guys, you know, Shannon Sharp, everyone, you know. They talk about that all, to this day, how it just helped them grow in the philosophies and the mindset. And it just, like I said, it just transpires into what we have today. Even all the experiences it went through, man, and all the ups and downs, you know, it's basically trial and error, man, and trials and tribulations and, you know, trying things and putting people in those winning positions. And he's doing a great job with that type of stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You were talking about fathers and sons. I mean, how freaking, this is all I could think about during the game, because unless you've gone back and watched the broadcast film, you wouldn't know this, but they kept cutting the mic in the box.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I noticed it. Yeah. It was,
okay. I guess, did you go back that night and like watch the game over again? Cause I would have done that if I were you.
Yeah, they send us a TV copy and we watch the game. I like to watch the game on TV copy. Just to, you know, to hear the atmosphere, hear the noise, hear, you know, what the commentators are saying. Sometimes you got to tune out that stuff too as well. But
you didn't have to do it this time.
Didn't have to do it this time. But, you know, I also like watching the defense, man. And that's where you get, because I don't usually get the defensive side of the ball unless it's the actual, you know, broadcasting copy. So, like I said, we all go back and watch it, listen to it, and yeah, I saw those cut-ups, man, where Mike was in the booth, and they just kept showing it, and, you know, what prouder moment, you know, for Mike and to have his son, you know, being in the Super Bowl
running his scheme, and like with a guy who, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, you were an undrafted free agent. That's sort of Mike made his bones, having guys step in and really dominate without, you know, being a first round pick or whatever. And it was the similarities to me and the parallels were just fascinating to watch. I mentioned the back to that Debo Samuel touchdown. Like, are you thinking when is that a play where I want to ask you about the first touchdown play first, because the third and eight, the trap call. Did y'all know what Green Bay was bringing on that play? And it's like, this trap is going to work. And I mean, and by the way, when you watch what your offensive linemen are doing blocking on that play, like it's pretty crazy how far Staley gets out to get that backer.
Oh yeah, man. First and foremost, you know, Kyle calls the play. We're just going to run it. You know, it was one of those things where it was third and eight, and you know, we're just trying to get some yardage to. If we don't get the first down, then we'll get points on the board and kick a field goal. You know, it's the situational ball. And the defense was, you know, unfortunately in the wrong position. And, like you said, you mentioned Joe Staley coming across and, you know, doing what he did and blocked, man, had that nice block on that backer. And, you know, I saw a crease and I just hit it. So, I just used my gears to get to the end zone.
Did you know once you got past the second level that you, I mean, did you, you're like, I'm scoring? I mean, was it, or was
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
It's like, hey, man, look, like, I got a guy right in front of me. You know, he doesn't know where I'm going, and he's not going to have the best angle on me because I'm already fast. I'm going to use that to my advantage. So I'm going to just, you know, blow past him, and that's what happened.
Well, all right. How about the fourth touchdown? Because that to me was, you know, like you guys have a lead, but you know, the Packers are sort of trying to hang around and you want to really put it out. You want to put it out of reach and bury the game. Deep, because I don't believe there's anybody lined up on the left side. Like it's trips to the right, I think, without looking back at it. Motion Debo on the interior. and then have him pop out as a lead blocker. Like, that's the sort of stuff that, I mean, A, is really creative usage of a rookie wide receiver. B, it's crazy that Deebo could do that in that sort of formation. He laid a hit on the guy. And then C, like, was that a play too where you're thinking, all right, if this pops and this works right and we get the right look, we're scoring here?
So that play actually was more of a power play. You know, I was supposed to run inside.
because you had to pop it outside guard, after the guy got back in the backfield, right?
Yeah, the guard was coming on the pull in play. And, the D end actually long shouldered the play. And, I didn't see a crease like normal on a power play. I didn't see a crease right up the middle. So I took my read outside and Deebo so happened to be, in the jet sweep motion. And, he noticed that I bounced it. And, he saw that, like I said, I bounced it. And, man, he was just like, hey, I'm just going to be a lead blocker. So he transitioned from just having a, more of that jet sweep.
His jet sweep motion was just a fake to open up the interior crease, and then he just played the blocker on the fly.
And he just played the block, man. And that's what you gotta have, man. You gotta have football players, and that's what we are. We're football players, smart football players that go out there and execute the X's and O's. But it takes a whole nother level. That's where you have to have that common sense or something. And that nature, and Deebo, man, at the beginning of the year, man, he wasn't running that jet sweep fast enough, and Kyle got on him, He basically told us that a couple days ago at the team meeting. Actually, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. He told him, hey, like 3 months ago, man, I had to get on you about this motion. Now look what happened. You ran the motion right, and now you were a lead blocker in transition. So, it was one of those things where, hey, look, he made a smart business decision, smart decision, and we ultimately scored.
All right, I got one more question for you, but I want to point out that like you're about to head to Florida. When you guys are probably leaving on what, Sunday maybe, or Monday, Sunday, probably Sunday night.
Yeah, I think we depart on Sunday.
What are you
like around noon our time?
How are you preparing for the next 10 days of your life? Cause it's about to get really insane. Like you're going to be dealing with a lot of people talking to you, like not even the pressure of the Super Bowl, just like sort of the onslaught of media, I think. And like attention is going to be intense. Like, I'm just curious, like how, like what kind of mindset are you just like, I'm just going to treat it like every other day. How do you approach it?
Yeah. I'm just going to treat it like it's a game. I'm not trying to get hyped, but I gotta keep it at a level where I know I gotta go into it with a good week of practice, and make sure that I do all my things, all the little things right, because this game, man, you have one mistake, man, it could be costly, and I don't want that. So I'm gonna just treat this as a game, for the week. I guess I haven't really thought about this question yet, just sitting back, just absorbing everything that, has been coming my way thus far. I'm just going to take this game like it's like another game, even though I know it's the biggest game of my career. I can't let my highs get too high or my lows get too low. So
just pop open those notes, man. Just pop open those notes and those motivations and look in the morning.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. So what's one thing about Raheem Mostert that, that's like kind of a fun, like a fun fact or like a surprising thing or like an interesting, something that might come about during this media day when you got to sit there for an hour and a half on a podium or an hour on a podium and get asked insane questions by people in superhero costumes. What's a quirky fun fact that might pop up?
Let's see. Quirky fun fact. I'm excited. I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to miss J-Lo's performance.
J-Lo fan, man.
I'm a J-Lo fan, man. I really like J-Lo a lot. She did a great job. One of my favorite movies, truthfully, is Selena.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so it was J-Lo in it, man. And
low-key great performance by J-Lo as well. Have you ever seen Out of Sight with her and George Clooney? Very good performance.
Out of Sight, yes.
Yeah, very good movie with her, yeah. All right, Raheem, that's good stuff, man. We'll see you down in Florida. Appreciate you taking the time. Great job last week, and look forward to an awesome Super Bowl from you, man.
All right, sounds great. Thank you for having me, Will. I appreciate it.